I was reading the Bible, and I came across this scripture again, and you know, sometimes you remember them and then you forget, and you come back across them and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. And it said, essentially, how important it is for us to listen to those bringing the word forth, and that we don't give them a reason to feel sorrow for kind of watching over us. That we listen to them, and we listen to the man of God, the people of God that he has placed in our lives, and we shouldn't give them a reason to dread it. And it then said how awful that would be for you. And I was like, oh man. So it's not that you just come to church and you just hear, but that you listen. It's not that you just hear it one time, you amen, and then you leave and you do what you would the rest of the week. But we take what he is bringing forth because we understand that it's God using a vessel that he called, and our opinion doesn't matter and who he chooses, but he gives us the people that we need in our lives, even though we don't like to listen to them sometimes. Yes, he's my father. I struggle listening to him sometimes. But I make every effort that the devil does not get in between my relationship with him. Because he'll go after the pastor, and then he'll go after you in our relationship with our pastor. Because the devil knows our pastor won't give up. He's been in this thing for 20 plus years. We know he won't give up. But will we give up is the real question. Will we listen? Will we take home what he is preaching tonight? I just felt, I don't want to preach. I just really want us to grow together because you all are my family. And whether I like it or not, my growth is to an extent predicated on your growth as well. And so I just want you all to know I love you and I love our pastor. And I know he has a word for us that we need and not necessarily that we want. So let's give him a warm welcome and let's listen to him.
Well, I did not talk to Colin at all about what I'm preaching, but he was right in line because the Holy Ghost lines you up. Before I begin, let me just tell you, I'm determined to get us where God wants us to go. And so whatever that takes, and so this Sunday, Bishop Todd Nichols is going to be with us. And then about 2 weeks, what is it, the 14th, the 15th, I believe, is when Pastor Jeff Harpool will be here. It'll be Tuesday and Wednesday night. And I told the Lord, because I was having trouble just trying to accomplish what I really felt. And so I told the Lord, I said, God, I said, you are the one that said the fivefold ministry is necessary to the church. And I'm trying to bring people in to help us here. And it was right after that, actually, that Bishop Emery had to cancel. And I think Ken Dillingham did an amazing job, especially Saturday. It was just like out of this world. And then Sunday, David Bryan just hit it out of the ballpark, in my opinion. Just out of the ballpark. I don't know. Maybe y'all just disagree, but. And so I am, I'm excited. God's trying to help us. And we had a tremendous Bible study in Conneaut about, we're going to do a series on planting and growing. And I want to bring that here. And I wanted to bring tonight what I had there, but I just felt like what I have for you here is what I needed to bring. So I couldn't get to that just yet, but I want to. Lastly, before I get into my first text, I'll remind you, if you have a pledge, and those of you who have not, some of you who I know you love to give, I am going to call you, so I don't want you to get offended at me. You can say, hey, Pastor, I'm not giving, and I'll say, okay, thank you, goodbye, hope to see you Sunday. But we're making tremendous progress. We had two families gave a combined $45,000. Well, that it is to be celebrated, but just don't clap if you haven't pledged. You don't want to sit on the sidelines and let everybody else do the lifting. One individual told me, I didn't know this, they sold a collection of something that they have in order to give their pledge. And I said, this is a year of sacrifice. God is looking for this from us. If what we have right now transpires, we'll be over our $750,000. Now, that includes selling this building over there in Ashtabula. And I don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. But, like, we're there. This is going to happen. It's going to happen. But if you're able, even if you got to take money out of your savings account or your 401k, I said it. Forgive me, Lord. And you have to give it now and then pay yourself back with your pledge. If you got to do it over time, that would help us, because what we're trying to borrow as little as possible. And once we get this building up and we're there, we're almost there, we can do all of that and get it up, then we'll have an idea what we need to borrow. And that's the goal. I don't want to borrow anymore, and I want to wait to borrow as long as we can. Why? Somebody out there in the government has got to get their eyes off everything else and bring these rates down a little bit more. That's what we're waiting on. And I proclaim it's going to happen. So I'm excited. So thank you for everybody that has really responded so well. And, you know, I don't expect everybody to do the same amount. And one person's offering, though it may be larger, is not, I didn't give that amount, but we gave what we felt like God wanted us to do. So I thank you for responding. And it's just going to be exciting. And we had a Sunday school meeting tonight, and they're just going to be so happy to have classrooms. It's so important. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Let me bore you with an old familiar passage. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The reason this is called the Mountain of God, first of all, Horeb is the same as Mount Sinai. So there are a lot of things that happened there. Moses had this God encounter. The law was given to the Israelites that we still live by today. God spoke to Elijah there. So there's a lot of very powerful, profound, and prophetic things that happened. Verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I want to preach to you on this topic, a voice and a covering. He's getting ready to pray. Sunday night at 6 p.m. is our first combined service. We'll have three of the churches here. Come, let's have a knockdown, drag out, throw out, whatever out kind of services we've got to do, and have a great time. And these are all churches that are connected to our network. Of course, Pastor and Sister Klein in Ashtabula, Pastor and Sister Lehman in Niles, and Pastor and Sister Salinas in Eastlake. So we're going to have a great time. I'm preaching this first service, but after that, these men will all be preaching one of those. We have three more this year. Those are the fifth Sundays. The schedule is out there. Someone said, I didn't know. You're not looking at your calendar. Amen. Would you pray?
God, I pray for this service. God, I pray that you touch every single one of us. God, you speak through him tonight. God, and we can get something from his message. God, we can apply it to our life and our walk with you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Thanks for standing. You can be seated. What makes this event interesting is there are two dynamics that come together that really define the church from then throughout eternity, is what I would say. And I will briefly mention Adam and Eve, but what transpired there was different. In this text, God shows up. When Moses turns aside to acknowledge God, God speaks. When God spoke, God commissioned Moses for a task. That task was what? It was to become a deliverer. Moses would now carry the mantle of the first real true shepherd in the scripture. And with that mantle, a nation would be brought out of bondage. And not all, because every church has backsliders. But the majority would come into Canaan and they would inherit their promise. But the dynamic is this. It's God's voice and a man that God calls to be a shepherd or a covering. That is the dynamic. It is a God-sanctioned dynamic. Something God put forward from the very, very beginning. And so when you think about the voice of God, I want you to think about your relationship with God. Adam and Eve, one of the primary things they did in the garden, that is, that other than their role as shepherd over the animals, caregiver, I don't know what word you want to use, keeper of the crops. It was to have relationship with God. And they would walk with God. They would talk with God. He would talk with them. And when they had sinned and they were cast out of the garden, there never really was a role in their lives of a shepherd, if you please. And so we come to the burning bush and we find that real first role of shepherd covering or the voice of God, the relationship with God that really begins to develop. And I understand, I know that prior to this, we have Abraham, we're going to talk about him, and you have Noah. The example of the voice of God or the relationship with God and the shepherd is all throughout the scripture. Began with Adam and Eve. And when God talked to them, He communicated, but He also gave them some things that they were not allowed to do. Then you had Noah, who received the detailed instructions for the ark. And the ark post-flood. So as the voice of God was able to speak. Now this sounds small and trivial, but I'll get to my point in a minute. As the voice of God was able to speak and to be received, things happened. A giant boat was built. Lives were saved. The future carried on because of that unique relationship with God and the shepherd. The same with Abraham. He received instructions to leave country and kindred, and he was promised a perpetual blessing. And through that blessing, we know the seed of Jesus would flow through him. But watch. But it's important to connect the dots, because what we have in Christ is because of Abraham's relationship with God. We have the opportunity to have this relationship with the Lord because Abraham, whom that seed flowed, had a relationship with God. I know you're not getting me yet, but just give me a few minutes. Moses, at this encounter, he experienced the call of God upon his life. It was a mantle. It was a heavy cross. It was a burden to bear. But there would be a nation that would come because of Moses' relationship with God from this point on. The moment that call came,
The dynamic that is often overlooked, and I preach about, is Moses took time to respond. Now, let me just jump ahead of myself just for a moment. If we cannot sit in church and listen to a preacher, we do not hear the voice of God in our lives. If we're distracted for 45 minutes during a sermon, you will not settle your mind long enough to hear what God has to say to you. And so the dynamic of the relationship, even in a church setting, is this. The pastor has a relationship with God. And that relationship now, it empowers or anoints and promotes him to be a shepherd and to now be able to be that voice that we so desperately need in our own lives. Sometimes that voice is relayed. Sometimes you may hear it directly on your own, but there's a role to be filled, and it's got to be filled by those that have this relationship with God. But the relationship is not just this, it's not just in, what's the words I'm looking for here? It's not just an image that man has created, this relationship with Jesus. It's a real relationship. It's a relationship. I tell God all the time, that God, I need to hear your voice. I need to hear what you've got to say. I need to know that we're where we are. I need to know that what we're bringing to the pulpit tonight is what you want to the pulpit. There's got to be a desire to have a relationship so God can speak. And then that gives a covering to all of those who now choose this church or that church or that church. And let me tell you something. When a church has become carnal, I can almost guarantee you the pastor's carnal. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. And I'll show you scripture. And then you have Elijah, who received encouragement and nourishment, clear direction, and from that was birthed spiritual sonship. Because of Elijah's relationship with God, his spiritual son was born, Elisha. And all of this because the voice of God. In every situation that I mentioned to you, God spoke to these men. There's many more. I just wanted to pull out a few that were familiar to us. He spoke to them. And when he spoke to them, he empowered them to be a covering to those that would follow. Abraham, the father, a covering for generations that will come behind you. And as I already said, but I'll say again, because of that, we have Jesus Christ, who now becomes our Savior and our Redeemer, but because of a man's relationship. And so these individuals became the spiritual embodiment of our own relationship. The relationship that they had with God is what our relationship with God should look like, meaning God should be able to speak. But it should go without saying, because it's been said enough already, that God just doesn't speak when he catches us running about our schedule throughout the day. God expects our attention. And I read the text that I read to you that I've talked about a lot over the years, I know, but Moses had to first stop and acknowledge that God was in the house before God would speak to him. I wonder how many people leave every church service and they never get what God has because they won't stop long enough to acknowledge that God is in the house. They're okay with feeling good and some nice songs, but that becomes the extent of it. And they never recognize that God was here. And when God shows up, he begins to give purpose to our tomorrow. We don't leave here feeling like we're wanderers. We don't leave here feeling like we're lost or confused. When God shows up, he has a way of clearing things. You might not have your answer today, but you will have your direction today. And that happens because you have relationship, the voice of God, and you have covering. Two, I will say to you the single most important things in your life, in your walk with God. Like it or not, it's a fact. So without this relationship, we have no spiritual insight or spiritual intuition. God, I wish I want to preach, but
Some people hide during service, so I can't preach to them, and it bugs me. I ain't gonna lie to you, it just bugs me. I wonder how many things we have just become used to because we're just not interested in furthering that relationship with the Lord, knowing that, that He becomes the answer to all things. Whatever that might be, whether it's health. And you say, well, Pastor, I've been praying and trusting God for my health. Have you fasted multiple days? I just had to pinch myself lately because here I am. I've been dealing with something since last year. And this God love these doctors. They're trying their best, but they're just practicing medicine. That's all they're doing. And I finally said, told my wife, I said, I'm going on a 3-day fast. I said, I think that's what I need. I think that's my answer. And that's what I did because I believe that God was the answer. And I'm not 100% cured, but it's gotten a whole lot better. What I'm saying is, I told her, she said, that's what you feel. I said, no, I know that's what God has been trying to speak to me. God has been telling me I need to do an extended fast. And so I'm going to do it. How many issues in our lives would be fixed if we fixed our relationship? We preach this thing week after week, and what's bothering me, what's been driving me crazy, is some people keep doing the same stuff the same way. Nothing changes in their life. You can't be a liar and be a Christian. You can't. You cannot sit home and look at pornography and be a Christian. You can't be a that will silence God's voice every day in your life. And let me tell you something. When your family begins to come apart at the seams, there's no other reason other than you have no relationship with God. It's the only reason. And here you go. Are you ready for it? Gut punch coming. And your pastor has no voice in your life anymore. Can I be very blunt just for a couple minutes? Listen, I'm not fighting for myself. I promise you that. I'm not. You know, I told my wife last week, I said, I'm not calling. For now on, people don't come to church. If they don't want to send a text message and say, hey, Pastor, I'll be there, I'm not calling you. You're not here, I'm not worried about it. If you don't care enough to call me, then I'm not going to bother you. You obviously don't want to be bothered. So if that's the kind of relationship you want and you don't want covering in your life, that's your business then. But don't complain when you got somebody who cares that you're not here. At some point, you get to the place where you're just tired of being a hound and a harp. My pastor, your pastor, you should be able to say, Pastor, blah, 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 blah. And I should be able to say, nope, I'm not feeling it. And you should say, okay. Are you ready for it? Gut punch coming. I should be able to say, listen, we need you here for revival. And you should say, all right, plans changed, coming. Can I just be honest for a minute? Listen, we can no longer, if God is going to do what God wants to do, those messages were so perfect. They were so perfect, so timed. You know God was, if God is going to do what God wants to do, then we've got to do what we need to do. We've got to take care of business. We got to stop making excuses. I'm going to say it again. We got to stop making excuses. God has got so much more that He's trying to position us for. He's got so much more that He's trying to do. But you know what? I could be as direct as I am, and there will be people that will go, and nothing will change. Next week, it'll be the same. Now, whoever that is, that's up to you. What I'm saying is, at some point, God's got to be able to speak, and the covering has got to be able to speak in our lives. I could go down the list. I'm just going to meddle for just a minute. I'm just going to meddle. I'll get back to this. But I could go down the list, and I could talk to you about things and warnings, and my God, have mercy. I shared them with you. And people get mad at me because I share things from the pulpit. I don't give names. If you know, so what? Then you know. Big deal. If I say something in the middle of preaching and all of a sudden it becomes a prophetic word and then it comes to pass and then I preach about it
And don't get mad at me for just because you know who that person was. Those are the things we wrestle with. And so when you're praying and God says, if that person who's not here tonight, who's backslidden, will keep me first, I'll spare their child the spirit of homosexuality. And when you come out of your prayer and you call them, you tell them that, and they still don't listen, and exactly what comes to pass, come to pass. Exactly. 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 And at some point, I don't know about you, but at some point, man, my pastor calls up. He'll be here Sunday. When he calls and he says, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, I'm on board. I'm doing it. I'm not debating it. Why? Because I know that man has heard from God. I know he has a relationship, and I know that he's my covering, and I'm going to embrace that with everything that I have. Timid, it's okay. I've had people over the years, I'm just going to meddle for a second, I'll get back, but I've had people over the years, I've called them up, and honest to God, not once, not twice, Pastor Klein, many times, called them up, and I said, it'd be a Wednesday night or a Sunday, they'd answer the phone and say, why? Why what? Why aren't you coming to church? Who said I wasn't coming to church? I said, I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And then it would be moments later, well, you don't understand, and here came the reasons. I'm telling you, it's happened more times than I could even count. Last Sunday, I think it was Sunday, maybe Friday, I don't know, maybe it was one of the revival services. The Holy Ghost told me someone wasn't coming. I was going to call them, got tied up in my day, forgot, and they didn't come. It was a Sunday, I don't remember. You say, what's the big deal? Well, if the Holy Ghost tells you for a reason, I'd say there's a big deal. God just don't wait, he don't just waste time talking to us. There's a reason. And so I guess to summarize it, and I'll move on, is this. We have got to get to the point. If you come and you say, Pastor, I think I should blah, 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 blah. And I say, okay, let's go. Or I say, no, I'm not feeling it at all. I wouldn't do that. Okay, it's done. Shut it off. That's it. That easy. We have to get to that point. We've got to get there. Why? Because God can take us. Moses, if you won't at least stop and acknowledge that there's something supernatural here, then there's going to be a whole lot of people who are going to be lost because of it. Abraham, if you won't do what I'm trying to tell you, and we're going to take this thing and we're going to keep stepping it up a notch. Why? Because at some point, the Messiah is going to come through your lineage, and the world is depending upon him. The world is depending upon your response. But you cannot have, and some people, they stay there, and it drives me crazy because I don't want people to stay there. No spiritual insight, no spiritual intuition, because there's no relationship. There's no covering. Response, direction, counsel. All of those things become carnal at its core. Do you know what a Christian that has no relationship with the Lord and they have no covering in their life by choice, do you know what that looks like? Just look on Facebook. They're asking everybody else their opinions. That's what it looks like. When we have the relationship we're talking about, work becomes a place of prophecy. You don't believe me? Look at all the examples I just gave you. These men lived. Their work was a prophetic field of labor. God delivered. This is not a small thing. Delivering people is not a small thing. Setting people free from their bondage outside these four walls is no small thing. Vacation becomes a vehicle for the Lord to use you. I remember years ago, someone came and preached for us over there at the old building. I still remember what he said. He said he was on his way to vacation one day, and the Lord spoke to him and said, are you going on vacation for me? I don't understand. What do you mean, God? There should never be a time where our spiritual antennas are not high. I don't care if you're on a cruise ship, if you're out on the beach, your antennas go up. Why? Because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. But those things cannot happen unless there's a relationship with God where God is able to speak to you. I'll take it a step further.
if something like that has not happened to you in a while, God hasn't been speaking in a while. Because when God speaks, you know it, and you respond. Now, we might need some things cleaned up when he speaks. We'll talk about Samuel a little bit. Nothing is just another thing. Everything is the will of God. Everything is God. Everything, everything, everything. And when that happens, when you get there, you don't complain about church. You don't complain about revival. Why? Because you know this is going to be a God thing. Why? Because God doesn't waste time. And the preachers we try to bring in here aren't guys that we don't want people that want to just fill a pulpit. We want people that we know are in tune with God. They're in tune. And so they can come and they can be a temporary covering for the church during this moment or this season. And so I'll give you a couple verses about this and how it is intertwined throughout the scripture, John 10 and 27. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It just says, my sheep hear my voice. Enough said. Enough said. If we are his, then we should hear from him. Now, I don't want you to feel discouraged. You say, well, I haven't heard from the Lord. You probably have. You just didn't recognize his voice. You might not be at the place where you understand that's him speaking. That was the whole Samuel thing that we'll get into. But the fact is, we've got to be able to hear his voice. We've got to hear God's voice. We've got to hear his voice, whether he speaks audibly or whether he speaks from the pulpit. We've got to hear his voice. We've got to hear it. Isaiah 30 and 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. Kenny, can you come up here? Just face that direction if you would. And just walk a couple steps. Thank you. You proved my point. Thine ears shall hear. You're just going about your day and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost speaks to you and says, hey, I need you to go left. Take that detour. The woman's at the well today. And we do. We go. We don't say, but God, I don't have time. We don't say, but God, you know, this or that. We go. That is what you call growth. As long as God is speaking, but we're not doing, our relationship is dysfunctional. God has to be able to speak, and we have to be able to respond. That's where miracles come from. And if you don't think somebody who's been through multiple, multiple, multiple husbands, their lives an absolute train wreck, if you don't think God getting a hold of them, setting them free from the grips of hell, and putting their life on a brand new path is a miracle, I have nothing else to preach to you. That's a miracle in itself. We're always looking for arms and limbs to grow and blind eyes to be open, but we don't consider God setting people free miracles. Those are miracles. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. We've got to get our relationship to the place where God can stop us and say, hey, hang on, make a right. I need you to go over there. It's just what we preached about the woman at the well. And hang on, make a left. Hold on, don't go there. Hang on 1 second. Hang on, I need you there. When our back is to the Lord and he can say, hey, the man's not wasting time when he says, be there at revival services. Be there. Show up. Because I have something for you. I'm not going to give it to you unless you're going to come. Moses, unless you're going to stop and turn around and put your own schedule aside for a moment and acknowledge that God is in this place, I'm not going to say another word to you. Deuteronomy 8 and 3, it says that he, I'm picking it up halfway through there, you'll have to find it, that he might make thee know that the man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouths of the Lord doth man live. We've got to have the voice of God speaking into our lives. Many people want God's blessings, they want his promises and his miracles, but they're not driven to hear and to follow. And that's more important than anything else, because you can go to heaven maimed and hell whole. It's more important to hear the voice of God than to him to heal your heart. I'll say it now. Why? Because at some point, we're all leaving this earth. And when you do, I've got to be right with God. My relationship with God has got to be right. Listen, every person in this building should be able to hear from God. I'm not saying that to criticize you. I'm saying don't sell yourself short. Do you know why it's so important? Because God makes it a whole lot easier for me. I've had people, I had someone years ago, and I got to hurry. But years ago, I had been talking to this person about just an issue in their life. I mean, diarrhea at the mouth talking, you know, trying to get their attention. And we went to a men's conference one year, and we get out of the first service. This man walks up to me. He goes, man, you're not going to believe this. He said, God told me, bow, 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 bow. And I said, I just had that conversation last week. Shrugged it off. Okay, that's fine. I got no problem with that. As long as you can hear from God, then do it. Had a man years ago, we're in the middle of service, we had an evangelist, he pulls me to the back room, and he says, God told me I'm not to pastor. He said that I'm to be your support, and that's it. I said, thank you, Lord, because I knew he wanted to pastor one of our other churches. And I wasn't feeling it. I told him, I said, I'm not closing the door, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Backslidden today. Wife backslidden. Family backslidden. All on their way to hell backslidden. Don't tell me I can't say that. I just did. You know that. Stop lying to yourself and putting people in heaven. You're not God. God has the formula. We've got to be born again, and we've got to continue to love him, love his word, love his will, love his way. It's not hard. Just fall in love with him. That's it. That's all it requires. It's just like a natural carnal marriage. Get your eyes off other women. Get your eyes off other men. You are married. Love that person. Give everything to them, and let God bless the relationship. There is no exit ramp. And I use these examples to try and help people. That's why I use them. If you know, who cares? I didn't ask you. It doesn't matter. This is not about, you know, it's not an inquiring magazine, you know. And so we've got to want to hear the voice of God more than we want the miracles and blessings and all. I really believe that with all of my heart. Listen, go in your Bible and look at all the people that had miracles. How many of them continue to follow the Lord? And you can start with the 10 lepers. 10% stayed behind. That was it. Not bad. I'd take 10% in a revival, but I'd rather have 100 or 90 or 80. But they wanted a miracle. They did not want a relationship. I'm appealing to you. We've been talking about this, and we're going to continue. Two things that matter this year more than anything in the world. Number one, your relationship. Number two, the lost. Those are the only two things that matter this year more than anything in the world. So I talked to you about the voice. I'll talk to you about the covering for a few moments. 1 Samuel 3 and 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now I want to warn you. Let me throw some covering stuff at you for a moment. You may hear from God. It doesn't mean you understand God or that it's God. You got to be very careful with that. Very careful. Satan spoke. Adam and Eve were privy to have a direct relationship with God, but somehow or another, Satan's voice confused her to the point where she forgot about what God said. I don't know what he did. Maybe it's because he was in the garden. Well, if he's in church, then it must be from God, right? All that nonsense, people coming up, and everybody wants to prophesy all the time. Listen, I'm on board with prophesying. But some people, really, what they're trying to do is just make themselves look really good. I had a conversation, and I said, you know, at some point, we ought to ask men when people come to camp meeting not to walk up and prophesy over people. Now, that gets some people, it gets their britches in a bunch because that's their bread and butter. God didn't call you to pastor them. He called somebody else. If there's a word from the Lord, if you're especially in a setting like camp meeting, give it to the pastor and let the pastor deal with it. Now, there are times, especially if it's the preacher, where they'll have that liberty, and the pastor's given that liberty. But the point being is this. So Eli had a relationship with God. He knew the voice of God. And because of that, when God began to speak to Samuel, Samuel was confused. He heard the voice, but he didn't understand it as being the voice of God. And he goes to his covering. You've got to have covering in your life. The covering will help clear up confusion in your life. And so Eli gave him instructions. Thank God Samuel responded. And the Lord spoke, and the rest was just downhill from there. So Noah's relationship was a covering for his family. His family was saved because of Noah's relationship. Covering is no small thing. Abraham's relationship became a covering for generations. He said, your seed will be blessed. You won't be able to count them or number them. And I already told you whose lineage now Jesus comes through. Moses' relationship became a covering for Israel. Whether you like it or not, God had to use one man to deliver a million people. Whether you like it or not, God will use one man to preach to 200 and to shepherd them and to guide and to lead. And if it helps you at all, sometimes that man, like Moses, says, God, I don't want to do this anymore. God, they don't want to listen. God, they just want to do their own thing. God, they're always complaining. God, they're always whining about what you haven't done, failing to recognize what you did. Just being honest. Elijah's relationship became a covering for Elisha. These men's, their direct relationship with God, it propelled them into a position of covering for those who would now follow them. Eli's relationship was a covering for Samuel. Samuel became a covering for kings. All of these were the product of Adam and Eve's relationship with God. The most important thing that we read in the beginning was not God speaking and the world being formed. It was the fact that God had relationship with man from the onset of the creation of humanity. That is the single, and I feel the Holy Ghost. That was the single most important thing. It wasn't that man had authority in the garden. It wasn't that he got to name all the animals. No, it was that they had relationship with God. And that's why when Adam and Eve fell, God didn't just automatically abandon the relationship. He showed up like every other day looking for him. Adam and Eve, where you at? I'm here to have our daily talk. But you see, when you fall into sin, what happens is we start hiding from God. And then when God comes looking, we don't acknowledge him. And then sometimes God will speak and we'll be like, well, God, you know, I'm sorry, I failed, and I'm this and I'm that. And then God begins to question, not because God didn't know, but because God wants confession. Because confession is made with the mouth. It's not made by thinking it. You don't repent in your head. You speak your sin. You speak your weakness. You speak your folly. God wants to hear it, just like you want to hear from your own king. Now, one person here has ever accepted, hey, son, did you do what I told you not to do? Answer me. I did, just in my head. Now, one parent here has ever accepted that. But we expect God to accept it. Well, God knows my heart. Well, remember that next time your child don't want to answer you, you know their heart, bless them anyway. Why? Because healing begins the moment we confess. Acknowledgement, God can begin to work through that. Ephesians 4 and 11, you know it. We don't even really have to read it. The covering. We're talking about covering now, this covering that God gave mankind. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, period. So we can be better. So we can grow in God. That's why. That's the only reason. You know the word perfecting? It means completely thorough. That's what it means. Or one other sub-definition is thoroughly furnished,
God wants us to be complete. He wants us to have everything that we need. And for that to happen, we've got to have covering. We've got to have ministry that has the authority, that heard from God, that got direction for God to come teach or to come preach or to come prophesy or to a position of apostleship or to just teach. I told our Sunday school teachers tonight, what you're doing is not a small thing. It is a position that God ordained from the days of old. Why? So we can perfect these children through the word of God and through teaching. Hebrews 13 and 17. Now, you don't have to get scared on this, and I'm breaking it down for you. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief. That's unprofitable for you. Now, the first thing I would say is, we don't like the word obey at all. Our society hates it. So let me make it easy for you. That word literally means just to be convinced. True or false, and to have the confidence in the authority that God calls you to obey in. So here's what it means. It means that you always have the right to turn a shoulder, turn a blind eye, to say, no thanks, I'm leaving, I'm going. You always have that right. But you've got to be convinced. And what would convince me? Well, first of all, I become convinced because of his relationship. I'm convinced because of my bishop's relationship. I listen to him preach. I see the hand of God in his life. And so that causes me to want to be obedient. Obedience is not a dirty word. You know, you obey. Hey, you don't like it? Obey, 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 obey. You do it every day. You go out there. Try not to obey now you don't obey the traffic sign and, targeting people. You're just sitting there waiting to poach people. Oh, God. Or you're not allowed to go in the bank and steal. America's just becoming, everybody wants to be a God in America. I want to tell you what to do. Some things you just can't do. You got to obey it. You got to obey. Wives, the Bible tells you to obey your husband. Tells you to be convinced. Husbands, you have the job of convincing her that she's safe listening to you. And you don't convince by demands. Again, that's a tyrant. That's a dictator. We could give you a little mustache if you want. Really. That's what you want to be. We have to convince our wives that they're safe trusting us and trusting our leader. I know I've said it, but I'm going to keep saying it. Because the scripture tells us to obey them to have the rule over you. Now, let me just help some husbands out really quick here. I want to help you real quick. Wives, if you've always had a problem trusting, don't blame that on your husband. That's not his fault. And there's nothing he can say or do that will convince you to trust him because you are always suspicious. You've got to give that to God. Trust. How many in here has ever flown in an airplane? Raise your hand. Put your hand. How many has never flown in an airplane? Okay. There's a few of you. It makes it easier. You know how I got over my fear of flying? I'm one of the weird ones. I actually enjoy the whole flying process. I enjoy going to the airport. I enjoy going to the TSA line. I know it sounds mental. I literally, honestly enjoy it. I enjoy waiting for the plane. You know why? Because I can't do anything else. And I love it. It's like a vacation, Brother Mike. But I got over my fear of flying because, listen, I'm like, I don't know who's in that cockpit. I have no clue what their qualifications are. I don't know if they just smoked the dope, a doobie or not before they got on the plane. I just have no clue. And so you know what I got to do? You know what I have to do? I have to choose to just trust. You got no other option. You have no other option whatsoever. How many of you have ever jumped out of a plane and parachuted? I know you have, Richard. Raise your hands. I want to see. So you got one. And Terry, she's nuts. I know she did too. So when you jumped out of a plane for the first time, did you have an instructor? Were you strapped to an instructor? Did you know him? I mean, you know his whole life story. You know if he's an alcoholic or a drug addict? Do you know if he killed the last person? You don't know. You know what you do when once you're out? You have no option but to trust them. And ladies, once you make the choice to get married,
You have to trust him. And we have the job of doing everything we can to foster that trust and that relationship. I got to move on. So for the perfecting of the saints, to completely, thoroughly furnish us, that's why God, can you come play for me? That's why God has the fivefold ministry, to finish what God started. God got you here. God got you to the altar. God got this relationship going. Now God wants to finish it until he takes us out of this life. Let God finish what he's doing. Let God be a voice. Let me be a covering. Let God work. Numbers 12 and 6, it says, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. God was very firmly dealing with Miriam and Aaron because of their attitude towards Moses, their covering, who was very in tune with the voice of God. Psalms 23, it starts like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm forgetting a part there. Before he restoreth my soul, someone help me. For my name's sake. Come on, somebody. Nobody. Put it up there. Kenny, go. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Keep going. Wait, did you go back to the beginning? Man, you jumped like four verses. What do you want to do, go home and eat? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's two words there that you want to key in. I'm going to go back for a second here. Make and lead. There's some things God says I want you to do, and some things God says just follow me. Go ahead. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? The shepherd leads his voice. God's voice, covering. The rod and the staff are a covering. It's what they are. Correction is covering. We look at correction as often being wrong or bad, but it's covering. That's what it is. It's covering. There's no pastor worth two nickels that wants anybody to go to hell or be lost. It's covering. Covering, covering, covering. Zechariah 13 and 17. It says, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. You know what that means? That covering is important. It's so important, God said, if you cut the head off of the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Without covering, scattering happens. People are lost, they're confused, they're all over the place. Acts 2 and 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The early church remained under covering. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So what we have to focus on this year is two things. We have to focus on learning to be still. I have a question for you. Can you be still? For those of us that always have to be doing something or we're lost, can you be still and know that he is God? Can you be still long enough to let God speak? To let God rekindle, maybe restore, maybe renew, maybe refresh the relationship? Everybody here, I'm challenging you to make it your mission. I'm going to hear from God this year. I'm going to hear from God this year. I'm going to hear from God. I am going to hear from God. And I promise you, if you do what Moses did and Abraham did and Elijah did, and who was the other ones? Noah did. All of those men, they took time. Normally, I say this all the time. They found a quiet place. They didn't take their phone. Speaking of, I'm going to keep saying this until I get you annoyed at me as well. If you use your phone for your Bible, please shut it off, get a real Bible, and bring your real Bible to church. I'll say it just in case you didn't hear me say it last time. When you're on that stupid phone, you get notifications coming across, news bleeps, your stupid Instagram. If you're on TikTok, those of you who still are defiant and still have Snapchat on your phone, you know the very Snapchat that sends people to prison? That Snapchat, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. I'm trying to be a covering right now. Snapchat has sent people to prison. But while you're reading your Bible, all those things, they're interfering with what God's trying to say when you're reading. They're an interference. I asked our folks, when you come to this pulpit, do not preach from your phone. Don't preach from your phone. You say, well, you got a tablet. I don't have a phone on my tablet. I don't get notifications on the tablets. I got them all shut off. Foster this relationship. Decide I'm going to hear from God more this year than ever before. And the second thing, cherish covering. Cherish it. Understand that it plays a vital role in our relationship with God. The voice and the covering are the two most important things. I'm finishing, but why would you put the covering in the same category, Pastor, as God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'll tell you. There are two reasons. Number one, most people don't really know when God is speaking, especially people that are newer. Somebody has to be able to relay those messages to them. That's why babies in the Lord, they're the easiest to pastor, because they just trust you, blind faith. And the second one is, remember, for God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I said this a couple weeks ago. Our job is to get all of the new people out there and to bring them to the Lord. The preaching keeps us on the right path. The preaching is more for those of us that are here today than a new believer. Absolutely it is. I just gave you the word, because we need the preaching to help correct us. So when the preaching is coming from the pulpit, it's correcting us. And especially if you're at a place in your life where you're not hearing from God, it might not be because you're a heathen. It could be because you're in a valley. It could be because you're in a season. You ever wondered what happened during that approximately 1 year on the ark? There's no written scripture. Did God speak to Moses at all, or Noah at all? Or did he just put him there, shut the door, and say, I'll be back in a year? We don't know. I would venture to say Noah's relationship with God did not end when the door closed. I would probably say it got more intense. Because sometimes when God shuts you up, away from everything, that's the best time to foster that relationship. We've got to shut things off. We've got to shut things off. I'll start with me. We've got to shut things off. We have got. Go out in the woods. Doug, if I had your house, I'd be going in the woods. I'll trade you houses. I don't have any woods. Find a place. And please, can I just like throw this last thing out there? I'm appealing to you today, not because I want to rule anybody's life. I have enough time ruling my own, hard enough time. If I call you up and I say, don't do it, then please don't do it. I'm being honest. I'm not, man. Why? Because you feel things. God speaks things to you. You're trying to prevent people from making a tragic decision. That's why some people, I love this one. I know I told you I was quitting, but I love the ones where people don't tell you because they know you won't approve of it, and they don't want you to say no because they know they're not going to listen. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you have done that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I I want this to be a year of growth. Not superficial growth, but really intense growth. And I believe what Colin said, I believe is ordained by God. I've not talked to anybody about what I was going to preach tonight. I believe that God sent him up to be a precursor to say, now listen, listen what I've got to say. Why? Because all in all, God just really wants to bless his people. He wants to spare us the heartache of horrible decisions. You can't go on without the voice of God and without a covering. You just can't. Can't do it. You can't. And for those of you that say you can't, say can't is not a word, fine, you cannot. You cannot. It's just that important. And then for people like me and Pastor Klein and other pastors out there, we now have the awesome, heavy responsibility of making sure when we walk past a burning bush, we stop. Say, God, what do you have to say today? What do you have to say? I really feel the Holy Ghost. If you'd stand. If you're only excited when the preacher's screaming, you got a problem. God didn't scream at Elijah. He whispered in the small, still voice. I could sit here for the next hour and I could go over people, over a list of people I've warned over the years. Tragic. When God shows you things in advance and you try to warn people and they just won't listen. It's gut-wrenching. We had one couple, they were here for a long time, had a dream. In the dream, they were in a big open field, and there's a lot of people, and they're walking towards the woods. It was some type of church service going on. I didn't fully get all of that. And the husband drives by the other direction while the wife is walking, and I'm there, and he drives by, and he had his window, and he just goes, just like that. I went to their house. I said, you are two hands off. You just kind of let anything go. Where are they at today? They spend their whole life online just bashing anybody that's had anything to do with the United Pentecostal Church, attacking so godly, they have so much hatred in them, it's ridiculous. And he just sat there the whole time, let it go. Had another family left. They left because we got, They left because the wife did not like the oneness message at all. Or is it baptism in Jesus' name? It is one of the two. It doesn't even matter. And finally, in the midst of conversations over a couple of days, she goes, you know what? She goes, we're leaving. No husband. They came, never saw him until he started coming to church. They left, never heard from him. Who rules that house? Not him. He might think he does. He might like to talk about what a big man, but he does. Warn. I already shared the one earlier with you. I could go on. That same situation. You know it. Church was happening. It wasn't secret. I'm preaching. I said, if you're not careful, you're going to send your kids to hell, straight to hell. Called me up the next day, said, can I just ask you why you called my name out? I said, I did not. Yes, you did. No, I did not. I looked over at my wife. And are they here today? No, backslidden. You know what happened? He was having an affair at that time on his wife. 1 month later, after I spoke the man's name, and I'd have bet my soul I didn't speak his name. I went back and listened to the message. I was blown away. I wasn't even thinking about him. I was blown away. 1 month later, we had an evangelist. There was a tongues interpretation. He sat right over there, and the interpretation was, don't you think I don't know where you are and where you're living? Repent, lest I come quickly. Out of church. Gone. On their way to hell. unless something changes, and I hope it does. I could go on. I could give you a million warnings, but you got the point. That's how important a covering is to us. I've had my own covering call me up and say, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't do this or I would do that. Bishop Ellis is a great, great, great voice in our life. I call him all the time. All the time. He's always gracious to answer the phone because I know he loves the kingdom. And there are things he has spoken to me and I've done. Bishop Nichols calls me up and he says this. Here, he's the one told me. I was telling him, I'm out there over that corner. Someone asked me, what are we going to do, Pastor, if we expand? I said, well, I was thinking about it. We walked over there. Who was with me that day? Anybody? Are you here? Are you home tonight doing more important things? Or are you backslidden tonight? I don't know. And just after a while, your tolerance level drops after a couple of years. So anyway, I said, well, we'll probably build off of here. It was a couple of weeks later. We had an evangelist in, and he says, hey. He goes, what are you going to do if you ever got to expand? I'm like, well, it's kind of funny you just said that because I was just talking about that. I was thinking about it, and then someone asked me, and this is what our plan was. And he said a couple things, and I thought, wow, I feel like God's in this. So I'm talking to Bishop Nichols, and I said, you know, this is what happened, and I just thought it was kind of funny. And I said, so we're probably going to start working, you know. And he said, do your blueprints now. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I wasn't thinking that fast. That's what I told him. I said, I'm thinking. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, start working on your blueprints now. You know what I did? Start working on the blueprints now. Now they're not done yet, but he's working on them. We were over in the old building. We come out of service one night. Brother Pasley's with us preaching that day. We walk out, and he goes, he wasn't being cruel. It's just his sense of humor. And I'm sorry for those of you who never got to meet him. Great man. There's two monuments over there to World War I, I think World War II soldiers. And here, please don't be offended now. He's just talking to me. I'm just sharing it with you. He goes, we walk out of church here, and he goes, you know, he says, you need your own church, one where there's not monuments to dead people. You know what I did? That week, I started looking for property. Hand to God. That week, I started looking for property. Had no clue. We had no money. We had nothing. I swear on everything it's right, I did. And then after we did this, we started talking about raising money for that. The whole plan was we're just going to put the building up and we'll finish it over time. We're out there. We're having lunch one day. And he says, borrow the money. Just do it now. You're talking about the foyer. He said, the parking lot. He says, borrow the rest and just do it all now. I'm like, really? I wasn't even thinking about that. He says, yeah. He said, just get it done. So you know what I did? I called the bank the next day. Next day. Why? Because I believe in covering. I believe in covering. And here we are again on a new endeavor. God has shown it. God has confirmed it. God has shown his hand in it. You folks have shown that you're in it, that you're in tune with God. Let's make this year be a year where God's voice is louder than it's ever been. I really pray. Would you close your eyes? Lord, I need you to speak to us right now. God, on Sunday, you spoke to people. Lord, the evangelist said, if you got somebody, or Saturday, if you know, if someone's on your heart right now, God, you spoke to people. You put that name on their heart. Don't let us just drop it. God, let us take this thing and run with it. We might think it's impossible. We might think that's crazy. Why this person? But God knows, because God is already speaking to their heart. God is already dealing with them. God has already been talking to them. They've already been talking to God a little bit. Lord Jesus, help us, God. We got to hear your voice. We've got to hear your voice. And God, help us not to make a big move without the blessing of our covering. Not one big move without the blessing of our covering. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, because the covering is there to pull us back when we want to go too fast or too hard, or when our flesh or our emotions get in the way. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, oh God. Help us, I pray, oh gracious God. Come and sing for us if you would. I pray that you just let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart right now. I know that he is. I know that God is, because I already feel it in the Spirit. I already feel that the Lord is speaking to people. I already feel that the Lord has already been talking to people. I already feel that God has already been speaking to some about this very topic. Huh.
Jesus. Jesus. What do I do if I hear your voice, Samuel? Well, let's go to Eli. Let's clear it all up. Make sure we're on the right direction. Let's make sure we're on the right path. Just don't jump in. Go to the covering. The covering has already been in tune with the voice. Now the voice is stepping into your life. Now you need to use that covering. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah.
Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe.
We cannot have the harvest that we want until we know God can speak to us about people. We got to be able to be in Walmart and God says, go talk to them, and we go. We've got to be at our workplace and God says, speak to them today, and we do. I did that with someone today. I'm like, I'm gonna give him an Easter invite and ask him if he has any place to go. I fought it. Devil wrestled with me, and I finally said, no, I'm doing it. And I walked up and I said, hey, you got anywhere to go for Easter Sunday? Well, not really. You know, I said, listen here, we'd love for you to come and be with us. If nothing else, I threw a seed out there. God has got to be able to speak to us. Some of you young people, I feel right now in the Holy Ghost, God is saying, I'm preparing you to teach a Bible study to your family. I believe it. I believe it. Go ahead, keep singing. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. We are
Abraham, will you listen when I tell you to go? Noah, will you trust me when I tell you to build a boat? When I tell you to walk away from everything, will you trust me? Moses, will you trust me when I send you back into Egypt, knowing they're seeking your life? Will you trust me? Hallelujah, Jesus. Elijah, will you trust me that I put you in that confrontation with those false prophets? Don't be afraid of Jezebel. I've already ordained your next steps. Hallelujah, Jesus. David, will you trust me when I anoint you in front of your brethren, but you don't see it come to fruition for quite a few years?
Miracles happen.
coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. And miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen.
Listen, the Lord is trying to say to a few people in this place, and I could call you out by name, but I won't. I wouldn't do that to you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you can trust this. I know you feel like you're going to get hurt again, but you can trust me. You can trust me. If you will trust God, he will not let you get hurt again. And you've got to remember, sometimes we may feel hurt. That's called phantom pain. And phantom pain is a real thing. But we've got to trust God. God will not allow you to be hurt the way you've been hurt in the past. Trust. Trust the voice of God and the covering of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Instead of
lift our hands right now. Can we just praise the Lord for just a little bit longer? Lord, we worship you so much, God. There's nothing like you. There's no one who can heal, no one who can hear us. God, when we pray, Lord, we understand that you hear our prayers, Lord, in the late night hours, God, in the wee hours of the morning, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, that we get to serve a God like you. But I pray, Lord, that you give us strength through this week. God, that you would open up doors for opportunities to spread your word, God, but also to invite somebody to Easter, Lord, so that they can feel that love of God for the first time, God, that they've never felt before. And I praise you and I worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you give every saint of God in this building, Lord, strength tonight and rest in their mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.